This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. There's been a lot in the news one way or another about a possible drug that could possibly help either cure or lessen the effects of the COVID-19 coronavirus, although some studies show promise, and I saw a report today where another maybe doesn't show promise. But the drug, as you may know, is called hydroxychloroquine. At least I hope I pronounced that right. I'm sure Dr. Clifford Martin with OSF Healthcare will tell me if I'm wrong or not, but you've heard him recently on the morning news, and I'm glad to have him join us once again tonight. Dr. Martin, thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Did I pronounce the drug's name correctly?
I think you did a pretty good job. But hydroxychloroquine.
Oh.
And the other drug that they talk about is chloroquine. But yeah,
okay.
Very good.
All right, very good. I've heard it pronounced 1,000 different ways, but, you know, sometimes that's how some of us in the media
sure.
operate. So what are you going to do? Anyway, before I get into the drug itself, let me ask you first, I guess we've seen, for your perspective on the news of the past couple of days, that there may actually be some so-called flattening of the curve here with, I guess, maybe nationally, the number of projected deaths from COVID-19 has gone down in recent days and may not nearly be as dramatic as we first thought. What are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, it certainly is very encouraging news. We all continue to hope that our prayers are answered and that is true and that we really do start to see that the number of new cases continue to fall off and then that resulting number of hospitalizations and severe illnesses. And then, of course, sadly, deaths also starts to go down. We do know there are certain hospitals are still very much in the thick of the stresses of this, and our thoughts and prayers go out to them, but we are very hopeful that we will start to see some improvement.
Absolutely. That sounds like great news, at least, or like the best of a bad situation, perhaps. And I'm sure we'll keep watching that over the coming days and weeks for sure. Maybe one of the things that will end up helping, I don't know, is hydroxychloroquine. Talk a little bit about what that drug is and what that is supposed to do versus what it might be considered for in terms of COVID-19.
That's it. You know, it's a very interesting story and I think it kind of starts out with when faced with a new illness, virus, and an epidemic, and then pandemic, and how severe this had been at certain places in the world, starting in China and then spreading. There's that urgency to find something to help, to try to ease the suffering that's going on from the illness, and researchers start to look for any type of answer. So the hydroxychloroquine and its sister drug, chloroquine, are both drugs that have been on the market for a long time. They were first developed as derivatives of a naturally occurring substance called quinine, which was found to help treat malaria patients and victims and help to prevent malaria. And from that, over time, it was also discovered that they had, especially hydroxychloroquine, some use in treating some autoimmune or inflammatory diseases like rheumatoid arthritis. Mm. So when faced with, we need something to help us treat these patients, researchers go to the lab and they test how viruses respond to drugs by doing something that's called tissue cultures. They are able to grow some human cells within a flask, and then they put the virus in on those cells, and in lots of little tiny containers, then they put in hundreds of different antibiotics, drugs that have been tested against all sorts of microorganisms, and that's where this hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine were found to have some effect of stopping the coronavirus. So
what?
The first reports of this came out discussing that they were potential agents in vitro, which means in the lab. And then from that, in the countries that at that time, it was before the U.S. really started to suffer, started to say, well, if it works in the lab, we're desperate. We're going to start to try to use this in patients as well. Mm-hmm. And then that's where it gets muddy, because we always know that things that are in the laboratory dish may not translate into the human body.
Right.
And is it for everybody? How does it work? And that's where the mixed result starts to come out from there.
Before I get into that part of it, in terms of the mixed results that you mentioned, what's the difference between hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine? Is it just the makeup of it? What's the difference there?
You know, on a chemical standpoint, it's just adding extra hydrogen and oxygen atoms to it. But what it really did was make it safer. Chloroquine, when it first came in the market, had a lot of side effects. The slight variation on that changed the makeup of just enough to make it a slightly safer drug. But there are still side effects with the hydroxychloroquine as well. So okay. Most of the discussion about the drugs are the hydroxychloroquine, just because it's a safer medication.
Okay, I gotcha. Safer, but it sounds like that, well, with any medicine that test of any medicine, there are these problems that you were talking about. What's kind of causing concern right now as to whether or not this drug could work in fighting COVID?
Well, it's been responses that come from that. So, you know, it's mixed results in terms of treating people who are very ill and hospitalized, and treating those who are less ill with the drugs, and whether or not people do respond to it. And that's the difficulty by jumping from the laboratory straight to using it in a pandemic.
Yeah.
There's no time to really research, say, well, how much of it does it take to really work? And is that a safer dose within the human body? And can we mix it with other medications or not? And it gets to be so complex.
That must be
one of the challenges, I think, which is... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry about that, and folks should know there is a bit of a delay between the doctor and myself here, just the way this call is set up, but we'll work through that. That sounds like that's part of the problem here. There have been, I guess, pushes to try to hurry up and get this to market and avoid the clinical trial process. And that's got to be a sticky situation here, because you really kind of need that clinical trial aspect of testing a drug first. But on the other hand, time is of the essence here, right?
That's exactly right. It just wasn't time, and that's why people tried it. But that's where a lot of the experts have said, well, just be cautious, because we don't know, really. And you are experimenting on people who, in a sense, maybe a safe, somewhat experiment and a desperate experiment, but on people that are the most vulnerable, and you have to be cautious with how you proceed from there.
In terms of some of the results we've seen so far, can you talk a little bit more about that? And I ask because the president has touted, I think, a French study that indicated some promise, but now I saw a report today where the authors of the French study are saying that their testing so far has been a failure in this regard.
And it does come down to, as well, numbers. And I think that's where you would start to see even those researchers who initially we report some information. If we had the luxury of time, all those physicians and scientists that are doing the research wouldn't be rushing their information out to the public. They would do their due diligence of testing enough patients and following and using good scientific methods before they were to publish. But again, they know society and the world is desperate for help. And they are trying to get any information, even if it's somewhat promising initially, out. And as you said, they sometimes have to backtrack when they say, well, as our numbers start to come in more, we do not really see this truly being as promising as we hoped.
I imagine I can't be the only one thinking about this in this regard. One of my biggest fears about taking any prescription medication is side effects. What are the side effects with taking chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine? And I imagine those could probably be problematic in this situation as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So probably the most common are intestinal, so upset stomach, diarrhea, nausea, and vomiting. It can interfere with other medicines and can cause some changes in blood pressure. And it can also have some untoward reactions with the blood and cause some changes called hemolysis in some folks with certain blood disorders. So you do have to be careful with that as well.
Okay.
What we keep in mind is, as we keep learning, you know, that the people who are the most risk for becoming severely ill with the COVID-19 are those who often have other health problems, the comorbidities, as we keep hearing about them. So those individuals are often on multiple other medications. And as we all know, one medicine doesn't always agree with another.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these side effects are really combinations of one medicine with another effect. And that as well takes time to sort out is what's the safe combinations of medications.
I have a little bit of time left, so I'll ask you, Doctor, are there other drugs that we're aware of that are being tested right now that could also maybe show some promise in the fight against COVID-19, or is hydroxychloroquine it at the moment?
No, there's many other medications that are continued to be studied. A lot of research, reports that have come out of countries and different health centers about drugs that are called antivirals or retrovirals. We don't have good medications that really help us fight viruses the same way we do bacterial infections like the antibiotics. They are the drugs that go with viruses tend to be a lot more specific. So we don't have the sulfa antibiotic that can treat multiple different types of bacteria. With viruses, we often have a much more fine-tuning to these drugs. So most of these medications are already on the market to help us fight other viral illnesses, all the way from influenza to HIV. And so there's a lot of research going on. Are they effective or helpful in slowing down the virus of the coronavirus patients, and research on them as well?
All right. Anything else we should know about what's going on in terms of trying to figure out ways to treat COVID-19 at this point? Any other signs of hope here?
Well, I think, you know, the ultimate hope will be that we will have a vaccine. That as well takes time, because you have to find one that is effective and then know that it's effective enough to start to vaccinate people. So prevention is the real hope for this. And just emphasizing then our thanks to the community and everyone to continue to observe the precautions, trying to have that personal distancing, washing hands. It's working. We're seeing it starting to have an effect, and that's also our hope.
Yeah, very much is a great thing. And while I'm thinking about it, maybe just because I'm an idiot when it comes to medicine and medical things, but what's the difference? I've heard COVID-19 is described as a lower respiratory infection. Is that true? And what's the difference between, if any, between an upper respiratory infection and a lower one?
It really can affect both parts of our respiratory system, but where it's become so dangerous is the fact, as you said, lower. And just think about the upper respiratory as our trachea and the bronchial tubes. So just more of that irritation type of cough, where it really gets all the way out to the lung tissue and starts to damage the lung tissue. That's what often we refer to as the lower. So it's much more like a pneumonia that's actually attacking the little small air sacs within our lungs.
I had pneumonia as a kid, so I knew it. I had a feeling it had something to do with something like that. So, all right, at least it sounds
much more harsh on our body.
Yeah, certainly so. But at least it sounds like that. Hopefully, I would love to say slow and steady wins the race here, but it sounds like any form of promise is definitely a positive at this point. Dr. Clifford Martin with OSF Healthcare, thank you so much once again for coming back on the air with us and talking with us. And I'm sure we'll probably be talking to you again down the road as we learn more about this.
It would be my pleasure. Thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on Galesburg's Evening News in a moment on WGIL.